Okay, so we're in Daf Nun Hei tonight. Okay, so 55a, we're four lines on top of the Mishnah. Again, we've been doing Mishnah last parak, this parak with Tikkun Olam. So this is the Mishnah that appears in Masechet Iduyot. The same Mishnah appears here because we'll see it mentions Takana Neshavim and Tikkun Mizbeach. That's the way Rashi explains that it's doing here. So Manitin Eid Rabbi Yochanan Gugada, he gave Eidos. So Rabbi Yochanan Schwartz meant it's like as a like a sower this way. He says, Alachi Resha Shisia Via. So, in other words, if the father, you know, marries off the Chiresha, the Chiresha is a deaf mute. The father can marry off his daughter when she's a Ketana, and then she's married on a Derais level. On a Torah level, she's married, she yotes a beget. That nevertheless, she can be divorced from the get, even though she doesn't have das, she doesn't have knowledge and things like that. So, it's not an impediment for her being divorced with the get. Vial Ketana Bat Yisrael. The Ketana by Israel, and here Rashi explains something about a Ketana whose father had died. She was married presumably by the mother and or the brothers. So she's married on a Rabbanan level. Shenisei l'Kohen, that was married to a Kohen, shochelep truma. She can eat truma, means truma on a, which is Rabbanan truma, means certain things are truma d'oraisa. If it's dagan tirosh v'yitzhar, if it's grain and the wine and the oil, that's truma on a d'oraisa level. Other things, if the other growing things which be taking truma will be truma at a Rabbanan level. So she's a Ketana, she's married on a Rabbanan level, she can eat truma at a Rabbanan level. We made to Bala Yorsha, and even though she's only married on a Rabbanan level, it's Takanas Chachamim that her husband Yorshes her. And now, here's a famous case, the Alamare Shagazul, if a person stole a beam, he took the beam and built it into a large mansion or whatever, she told at Damav, so the Takana is that, in other words, on a derisive level, the Goslin would have to destroy his house and return the beam that he stole. So the Takana is, in order to facilitate his tshuva, that we permit him to pay money, pay the value of it, instead of destroying the house. He says, and that's because of Takana Shabbat. That's the first element the Mishnah mentions, the type of Takana. Takana means we want to help people do tshuva. Yalchatara Gzula, in the last case of the Mishnah, we're in Nunheim and Aleph, says, well, Chatara Gezula, if a person stole an animal, a grotter is according to Chatara of all things, he says, Shlo no to the Rabbim, but it wasn't widely known. In other words, very few people know about this. It's a question of what Rabbim is. Rabbim might be three people, might be more than three people, but it was like mostly not known. Shehima Chaper, Tikkun Mizbeach, that nevertheless, the person gets Kapara from this Korban Chatara, and we'll have to explain how this works. So we'll be patient with this, hopefully. Because of Tikkun HaMizbeach, and we'll explain that line in the Gemara as well. Okay, any questions on the Mishnah that we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let's go on the Gemara. Now, Gemara, Amar Rava, so again, the first halacha was, Rabbi Yochanan Gugada says, if you're the Chereshet, deaf-mute child, she's a Ketana, that was married by the father on a Doraisa level, she nevertheless could be divorced with a get. In other words, presumably when she's a Ketana, so no Ketana gets the get, the father would get the get, but it means when she gets older, the husband could give her a get, and then she's divorced, and we don't need das. In other words, by the man, the man has to have das in order to give a divorce. But the woman, that's what, in essence, we're deriving from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gugada. This is Amar Rava Meid Tosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gugada, Amar La'edim, from there we could extrapolate the following case. If the man said to Adim, to witnesses, he's married, Ru gets a shani notin la, I want you to see this is the get, and I'm going to, he's talking to the Adim, not in the presence of the wife. And he says, see this get, I'm about to give this to my wife, the chazar of Amar law, and then he, when he's in the presence of the wife, he says, Kinsi Starkov said, I want you to take this IOU note. In other words, he, misrepresents what the document is, Harezu Migureshet, that she's divorced, meaning, We're learning that we need no das from the woman to carry through the divorce. So if a chereshet can receive, a chereshet is like a ketana, in other words, even if she's an adult, doesn't have das, so if she can receive the get, so presumably even an adult, woman with all her faculties, even if she accepts the get and she doesn't know what she's accepting, that's still an effective get. Let's get to the two das, and we'll pause with some rashis and we'll talk. He says, so Milo Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Gugada, didn't Rabbi Yochanan Gugada in the Mishnah teach us Loba'in and Daita? We don't need her das, her knowledge, her understanding by the Chereshet. Achanami Loba'in and Daita. So too here, by a garden variety woman, we don't need her das, her understanding of what's going on in order to be an effective divorce. So the Gemara says Pshita. The Gemara says that's obvious why do I need even, Rava. Why do I need Rava even to teach me that? In other words, if I know the Mishnah, I would certainly know what Rava teaches me. So the Gemara says, no. If Rava didn't teach me, I would think, Kivan da Amar can see Shtar Chob Zeh. When the husband says to the wife, he takes the document, which is really the get, and he says, I want you to take this Shtar Chob, this IOU note. He says, Bituli Batle. I would think he's been back to the get. In other words, a husband can have a get, and he can declare the get batel. In other words, it's not effective. If he declares the get's not a get, the get is batel. That's history. So I would think, left to my own devices, that by saying, take the shtar chov, he's mevatel the get. So he says, kamash malan, so what Rava is teaching me, him eat the batle, if he was really intent was to be mevatel the get, he would have said it to the Edom, I'm mevatel the get. Behind the kamar hachi, and the reason he says to the wife, take the shtar chov, mishum kisufa. He feels embarrassed, even though he's divorcing her, he feels embarrassed to say, here's your get. So he says, take the shtar chov. Okay, wait, let's just see a few things, then we'll see what's doing. Let me see if any rashis I want to do with you. I think we're in good shape. All right, I think we're in good shape. Okay, who's what? Well, anyway, is there any question here? Go ahead, Robert, what's up? No, he's not saying anything to her. In other words, no. Again, we have two different cases. In the Mishnah, we're talking about a cheresh, a deaf mute. Rava is extrapolating from that case to a case with a woman with all her full faculty, a regular woman. He's saying, if I see from the case of cheresh that she doesn't need das to receive the get, so then I could apply that to a regular woman who doesn't need das. And even though he says, this is your star chov, she takes it and she doesn't know what's going on. It's still an effective get. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah, so there's a presumption in halacha, like at least the chere shote v'kata. Those three are always together in the Mishnah. The person is a shota, insane person, the cheresh, the deaf mute, and the katan, none of them have das. None of them have das. That's where the Gemara takes it. So, okay? All right. What? Perhaps you have to look into this. It might be that today, you know, that they are able to do more with people with different disabilities. I don't know if, you know, that might change the complexion of the halakha, but the presumption is that they're not full. Okay. What's up? Right. She doesn't have to know that it's a get. No. Presumably, when she gets the document, he says, dearest, He says, she'll figure it out. She'll figure it out. Okay, let's go further in the. I tell you, you know, talking about law, it reminds me of this case. This is a little bit with civil procedure. I remember this is a case. This is from Siegel's New York practice. They spoke about you're trying to serve process. They said, I think it was a matrimonial case. The man. He wrapped something in a, like a gift box, and he put the process in it, and he gave it to the wife who was about to take a cruise. So it would turn out to be a good service of process. Anyway, but you see things like that happen. Anyway, let's see back on the Gemara. Now we're at the two dots on Unhei Amud Aleph. We're around midway down the column. Yalkatana Bat Yisrael. Now another halacha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gugata testified about was. A ketana bat Yisrael, meaning that she was married not by her father. She was married, the father was dead. So she can't be married on a deraisa level. She's married by her mother or brothers. So she's married on a drabanan level. But he gave testimony that ketana could eat truma drabanan. In other words, rabbinic truma, she could eat. In other words, she's married to a kohen, but she's only married on a drabanan level. So he says she can marry truma drabanan. In other words, if she would marry it on a deraisa level, you have to, you know, the Truman and Derais level, which is only married to the Rabban level. So now the Gemara deduces from this, Vilu Chereshet lo Achla. So the fact that the Tana, i.e., Rabbi Yochanan Gada, changes the case. In other words, he was dealing about a chereshet. So the chereshet is married on a deraisa level. So he could have told me the case of the chereshet. He could have said that the chereshet, you know, is that the father didn't marry you off, and it was, let's say, she became older and she got married, so on her own. So she'd be married on a derabbanan level. So from the fact that the Tana switched away, in other words, the Tana was talking about chereshet, and he told me a halacha about a chereshet, that she can receive the get, fine, and she was married on a derabbanan level, and then he switches over to a regular Tana. So the fact that he doesn't stay with the case, and he wants to teach me that if a Tana is married on a derabbanan level, she could eat truma that's drabanan. So he could have had the same thing with the chereshet, because the chereshet gets to be a gedola, she can marry, and she'll be married on a drabanan level. If she marries a kohen, and then I could have that same halacha. But since he doesn't teach that case, that's like a pregnant, you know, like a pregnant sort of, you know, absence. So he's saying, the chereshet lo achla, so the implication is chereshet under those circumstances cannot eat truma. My taima, why not? Because we're afraid for a case where a chayresh marries a chayreshet, and the chayresh is a kohen, that he, the chayresh, will give her, you know, truma on deraisa level. So the Gemara says v'leichul katan ochel nevelahu. So let them eat. Like, why are we so worried about that? There's a sugya when it talks about katanim. If a katan is eating trefos, does the bez then have to get involved to intervene? So one opinion of the Gemara is katan ochel nevelahu, in other words, the bez doesn't have to be involved. So what are we so concerned about what a chayresh and a chayreshet would do? So the Gemara says gezeira. So the Gemara says you're right, but gezeira shemiyakil chayresh bepikachat. We're afraid that a chayresh, a deaf mute kohen, will be married to a pikachat, which is a woman who has her full faculties, and that he, the chayresh, and the chayresh can only marry on a drabanan level. So we're afraid that he, the chayresh, will give her truma d'oraisa. He says v'leachol the truma d'rabanan. So let him give her the rabbinic truma. We're afraid that he'll give her truma deraisa. So the bottom line is, the Gemara says that when chayresh is involved, we don't let the eating of truma go from one partner to the other. In other words, if he's the kohen, so he can eat the truma, and the wife normally can go along with him. But if you're married on a drabana level, so certainly truma deraisa not. But I would think that truma drabana you could have. But the Gemara wants to say that we're concerned for the case of a chayresh being married to a pikachat, that he would come to give her truma deraisa. So we say, you know what? When you have a chayresh involved, stay away from the truma. That's what we're saying. We're closing up shop. We don't want the chayreshim involved with giving truma to their spouses. Okay? All right. I'm going to go on. Next case. Yalamarish ha-gazul shibra'o. And then we mention, and this is a famous case, you know, when we talk about takanot, like with takanas marish. In other words, if a person steals a beam, and then he builds it into his mansion, and now he wants to do tshuva, so technically he should have to destroy the whole mansion and get that beam out of there. I have to restore that which I stole. So the kana we said in the Mishnah, in other words, to facilitate tshuva, is we say to the person, you don't have to destroy your mansion. If the beam is worth $500, give $500 to the, you know, the victim, and then we're going to call it a day with that. Let's see back on the Barabi Alamari Shekazul Shabbat. So Tanar Banan, we learn the price of, and again, the Brisa here, as in other places, elaborates more than the Mishnah. He says, Tanobanan, Gazal Maresh, if a person stole Maresh as a beam. He says, Ubina Obabir, he built it into a big structure, a big mansion. Beit Shami Amri Mikake, Kulabirukulumach, as your Maresh Labala. Beit Shami says he has to destroy the whole building and return the beam to his true owners if he wants to do tshuva. Beit Hill Omrim, Emil Demi Maresh Bobad, Yishum Takanashan. Beit Hill says, look, he only has to pay back the value of the beam. Is takana shavim. We want to facilitate people doing tshuva, and if you have to tell people they have to take down the whole, you know, mansion, so very few people will do tshuva. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up? Well, I don't see the question. Yeah. So again, we're talking about a marish that was built in a big structure. You're saying not that way. You're saying like something that's easy. It's easy to remove. So if it's easy to remove, I would think that's not that kind of smarish. That's what I would think from the way you're describing it. Okay. So
the sukkahs and sukkahs and sukkahs. Sometimes they have some sukkah, which is like the super duper sukkah, which is it's like a building, and the engineers came and they created like this big wall. So maybe then you would have it if one was. But generally speaking, you get the idea. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, now we said in the Mishnah that there was another takana which we didn't really fully explain, but we're going to go through now. That's if somebody stole, let's say, a sheep, and he's bringing it as a korban chatat, and it's lo noda the rabbin. It's not widely known that he stole it. Then he's yotze with that korban because of tikkun of his be'ach. We have to clarify what's going on here. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Yeah, chatat zula kulei. So amar ula v'ar Torah being noda being loda ainam echaber. So ula says on a deraisa level, nobody gets kapara with the stolen sheep. In other words, it's a zero. He says, my taima, why not? Because yesh kedilo kani. Even if the true owner makes yesh, yesh says you give up hope of getting the item back, that's not enough for the person to be kona. In other words, we've had this in sukkah. In other words, you need yesh and shini rishut. The only true owner has to make yesh, and then it has to change possession. So if I steal the sheep, and then the true owner makes yesh, but I still have the sheep, so I'm not kona that sheep. So it's not my sheep. So it's not my sheep. I can't be makdishit. I can't bring it as a korban. So I'm zero on a Torah level. He says, so why did the Chachamim say that if people don't know about it, it nevertheless brings kapara, meaning I don't have to bring another korban? Because we don't want the konim to be miserable, and hold off, we'll explain shortly. So Rashi says, but again, let me do two Rashi, six lines from the bottom. Look, Kani. Even if we hear the Bala made Yeyush, and we hear them saying, violate the Chisaron kiss, I'm never going to see, you know, my favorite sheep Agnes again, but it's not his korban, the thieves. And then the next Rashi, so you put him at Savim, that if it's not the thief's animal, that means he couldn't be Machnishit. If you can't be makdishit, so when I bring the korban to the base of Mikdash, so the kohenim are going to shech the animal. So what's the status of that animal? So it's going to be chulin shenishchatu bazara. It's going to be chulin that was shechted in the azara. Chulin that's shechted in the azara, the base of Mikdash, you're not allowed to eat. So the kohenim are miserable because they eat a portion of every korban. So they're going to be all upset that they ate a portion of this korban, which is the isur. So let's see. Hold on, we're not done yet. He says, so five lines to the bottom. So Amri the Rabban the Ula, so the Chachamim said to Ula, Banan Beitikon Mizbeach Tanan. But the Mishnah says that the reason we let him bring this korban is not because of Tikon Konim, because of Tikon Mizbeach. Amar Lehem came in the Konim of saving, means if the Konim are miserable because they think, and that where they know, that somebody brought the korban that was stolen, he says, Nimsim Mizbeach Batel. So they're not going to want to go and even bring other korban. I don't want to get involved with this. Let's see Rashi, four lines in the bottom. Nimsam is Be'ech Batel. Shinim Na'imi La'avod Avodah. They're not going to go Avodah. I don't want to eat any of this stuff. I don't get involved with this. He says, so then, so the Mizbeach is going to be Batel. The Mizbeach like is going to come to, I don't know, a halt or like a sphere of work, you know, slow down or stoppage. The Ikasha, so Rashi asks, let's say he asks this question. How could the Bezdin make a decision to uproot a halacha from the Torah to lift towards a mechatat shuruchayav? In other words, here, this person is chayav a korban chatat, the gazlan. And we're saying you don't have to bring another chatat. If you stole the sheep and it's not widely known, so you're yotze. So how can the chachamim decide that he's yotze? He says, Yahayimina b'yivamo. So Rashi says, the Gemara says in the Sefer Yivamo, Shevi al Tasashani, the Chachamim have a koach to say Shevi al Tas. In other words, on a Torah level, you're still obligated to bring a korban. But we, the Chachamim, are telling you Shevi al Tas. In other words, sit back and don't bring a korban. The Lav Ma'akaru, that's not considered uprooting something from the Torah. So the Rashba says on this that, but it really is, it's not a Shevi al Tas because the Kohanim are eating the food, which is Isur, that's Kumba Asay. And the animals being offered on the Mizbeach, or portions of the animal being offered on the Mizbeach. So the Rashba says that the Pshat in the Gemara is that the Hefker Bezdin Hayah Hefker. Bezdin has a koach to say what belonged to you belongs to him. So in this case, the Bezdin, the way the Rashba understands it, is saying that the sheep belongs now to the Goslin. In that way, that's why the Goslin is able to be Yotze with the Korban, and that's where it goes. Now, Rashi doesn't explain this way here, but in the end of the Gemara, it seems that the Maskan of the Gemara is that way. So it seems like Rashba puts it in the Havamina. But anyway, so let's just think, let's go slowly with this. There's only one shot in the Mishnah. Okay, let's just think what we did. So we had a halakha in the Mishnah about Chatat Gezula, Chatat that was stolen, Shlo Noda the Rabbi, was not widely known. So there's a halakha that if the person brings that as a korban, he achieves kapara, meaning he's Yotzei with the korban, because if we were not to do that, so then we'd say, oh, we have bad news for everybody. You know, remember that delicious chatat you had yesterday afternoon that you remember you were saying how delicious it was, you were so happy with it. Well, it was really like treifus, and you were not allowed to eat it. And so then that would lead to problems with the Kohanim. They don't want to do the avod in the base of Mikdash. So in this case, we say that, no, the animal belongs to the Goslin Reuven. And in Atam, he had a koach to be makdishit, and the Kohanim are in good shape. That's the Kanes Chachamim, that's Tikkun HaMizbeach, and that's the way Ula learns the Mishnah. Okay, who's got questions or comments to us, anything we did so far? Go. We're going to come. We'll come. Let's relax. We'll get through this again. Okay, but within Ula, in Ula would be different. In other words, just a Chatat, we're only concerned with the Kohanim, it's just a Korban Chatat. Okay? No, who said that? What? No. I would not learn from this at all. I don't know what you say, except from, in other words, if you know money is not, you know, licitly acquired, the shul should not accept that money. I don't know anything going on here, but I'm saying that's he says about a shul accepting money from. Well, I'll tell you a story. This is okay. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. You know, the way you go is, how did the Gedolei Torah do? How does the halakha say? So there's a story about Rav Elchanan. I'm going to tell you a story now. Okay, let's listen to the story. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman was a big gagal in Europe. He came to America in November of 37, and he was here till May of 39. He was the head of Yeshiva Alei Torah in Baranowitz, and they pleaded with him to stay, but he didn't want to stay. He says he's going back, and he got killed, unfortunately, in the Shoah. So while he was here, he was raising money, and he came to some people, and he was trying to raise money. He saw some people gambling, and one said, I have a contribution I want to make from this. He says, I don't want to accept money from gambling money. He says, yeah, but you accepted money from X, and he got his money from gambling. So Rav Elchanan went back to X and gave him back the money, and he didn't want to accept money that had been through gambling for his yeshiva. That's what a gadol b'Torah does. Okay, so now I don't know anything. I don't know anything about here in the shul or anything like that, but I'm saying, that's the way to do it. Okay, now let's go back further in the Gemara. Now, the, okay, what? All right, okay, so you hear what Daniel says? He says, okay, now, all right, now, three lines from the bottom. Okay, Rav Yehuda Amar, everybody, let's all focus. Okay, three lines from the bottom, let's all focus. Okay, we're on Nun Haman Aleph. Now, we had one shot from Ula. Now the Gemara is giving a different shot, a different explanation. So put Ula on the side, and now let's focus on Rav Yehuda's Hesber. Rav Yehuda Amar, Dvar Torah, Bein Noda, Bein Lo Noda, Mechaperet. Rav Yehuda says, Pumfaker, whether it's widely known that he stole it or it's not widely known that he stole it, the person does achieve Kapara. The person who brought the animal, why? My Taima, Yesh Kedikani. He holds that Yeyush alone causes you to have a Kenyan. So once the true owner makes Yeyush, so now I can acquire the animal and I can bring it. So I'm Yotze. So on top line on Nun Hema Beis, Uma Tam Amru No Da Eina Mechaperet. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chiddush is not the case where the Mishnah says that Lo No Da is Mechaper, because on a Derice level, it's Mechaper across the board. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chiddush is the case where it's No Da Eina Mechaperet. That's the Chiddush. He says, why did the Chachamim teach us that if it's widely known that he stole it, he does not get kapara? People shouldn't say, ah, the Mizbeach, it's, you know, busy consuming things that were stolen. He says, now,
Okay, so we have two pshatim in the Mishnah, one from Ula and one from Rav Yehuda. So b'shleima l'ula, haino d'katani chatat. Now Ula, remember, according to Ula, on a deraisa level, nobody gets kapara, but they said a little different. It was lo noda that the person would get kapara because the kohanim would not save him. They ate like, you know, isur. He says, so b'shleima l'ula haino d'katani chatat. So according to Ula, I understand why the Tana Mishnah mentions if the person brings a chatat, because I need a portion that the kohanim are eating. If they bring an ola, the kohanim aren't eating anything, they're not going to save him. He says, El Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yehuda, who said that on a derais level, everybody's yotze. And the whole takana is just that the case no dezenim echaperet, but everybody's yotze anyway. El Rav Yehuda, my yiri chatat, apilo ola nami. According to Rav Yehuda, Tana Mishnah could have taught me the case of an ola. He could have said that if it's an ola and it's lo noda, so you get kapara, and then or you if you had to bring a korban or whatever, you yotze with the korban. He says, so why does the Tana only teach me a chatat? So the Gemara says, not a problem. Lo mi baya kamar, that the Mishnah is saying, like it goes without saying, meaning lo mi baya ola de kalilhi. It goes without saying that the ola, which is totally burnt up, that the person gets kapara, even though the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, ela filu chatat nami, the chil of damhu, the salik the mizbeach, even by the chatat, which only has a small amount of chil of dam and goes on the mizbeach, the person, one second, yeah, you know, it's the other side of Ray, I flipped it over. It means like this, that, in other words, wait, please. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the key is, for the case of no da ena mechaperet. In other words, even though the Mishnah mentions the case that if it's ena no da, you get kapara, that's not the case of the Chiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The case of the Chiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a case that the Mishnah doesn't mention. And the case the Mishnah doesn't mention is no da, it's widely known that he stole it, you don't get kapara. Why? Shel yomru mizbeach ochel gezela. We don't want people to say, this is the Mizbeach, you know, it's burnt on there, it's things that are stolen. So that's the Chiddush. So you're not Yotze if it's Noda. So he's saying, it goes without saying in Ola, which is all burnt on the Mizbeach, certainly you're not Yotze. Everything is burnt there. But even if you just have a Chatat, the Korban Chatat, it just has the Chelim and Dam. In other words, some of the Dam is sprinkled on the four krenot, and then you have the fat and you know, parts of the animal are burnt on the mizbeach, even though it's a part of it. He says that even that case you're not yotze. Now v'idach konim achdele, the rest of the email the konim apilu haki gazur shel yomru mizbeach ochel gzeilot. Nevertheless, they made this the gzeira for the mizbeach ochel gzeilot. Okay. So again, so we have two pshatim in the Mishnah. According to Ula, on a Torah level, nobody's yotze with the stolen sheep. And then the tikkun de Rabbanan is that sometimes the person is yotze if it's no noda barabim. That's the way Ula understands the Mishnah. And it's because, and the reason we have that is, and we say the Rashba, it's based on Hefker, Bezden, Aya Hefker. Bezden can say that the sheep that belong to, you know, A now belongs to B. And it's because we don't want the Kohanim to be miserable and they won't do the avoda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, on a derais level, everybody is yotze with the stolen sheep because the true owner makes yeish on it, and then the gazlan gets a kinyan on it. So he's yotze whether it's noda or lo noda. But the chiddush in the Mishnah, which is the case that the Mishnah does not explicitly mention, is a case where it's noda einam kaparet. If it's widely known, you don't get kapara. That's like the din derabanan. You don't get kapara for it. So we don't want people to say mizbeach ochel gzeilot. Now, the other Gemara answers some questions against Rabbi. Let me get to a little bit to the end of the sugya, and then we'll pause. Okay. So Tanan, in the Mishnah we learned al chatara gzula shlo noda l'rabim shima chaperet mitikon mizbeach. So the language of the Mishnah says that the chatara gzula that's not widely known you get kapara for because of tikon mizbeach. So b'shleima l'ula nicha. So according to Ula, that makes sense. That gufa, that's the takana. It's chata gezula. It wasn't known to the rabbim. On a derais level, nobody's yotze with it. But the takana was that it's mechaper. The chamim said that the person does get kapara. is a tikkun mizbeach. El Rav Yehuda ibchami ba'alei. But according to Rav Yehuda, the chiddush is not that case. According to Rav Yehuda, everybody is yotzei with this animal because there's a kinyan on it. The chiddush is where it's noda that it doesn't bring kapara. In other words, on a Torah level, you would be yotzei with it, but the chachamim say you're not yotzei. That's the chiddush. So why does the Tana mention the case which is really not the chiddush? That's obvious that you're yotzei with low noda. That's your animal. But what the key is, where's noda? Everybody knows about it that you're not yotzei. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Yehuda, hakinami kam mechaperet. I'm sorry, hakinami kamar. That's what the Mishnah means. Lo noda mechaperet, that it lo noda gets kapara, and therefore noda ena mechaperet ne tikkun mizbeach. That the case of noda doesn't bring kapara. In other words, he mentions one case, you understand the other case, because of tikkun mizbeach. Okay, now, Mativ Rava, Rava is asking a question against Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, every ganav, when the person makes yeish, you get a kinyan on the animal. So let's take a look. So, Matav Rava, the question is Ula, the other way around. So this is going to be a kasha against Ula. So Ula holds that nobody gets a kinyan on it. Nobody gets a kinyan on the animal, but the Takanas Chachamim was, if it's low noda, you get a kinyan. So let's see. So Matav Rava, this is from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ganav, if a person stole, let's say, an animal, mehikdish, and then he got generous, he stole the animal, so he was makdish the animal. He says, Bacharkach tabach machar, and then he slaughtered and sold it. Mishalim tashlumi kefel, ve'inu mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So he owes, so again, if you have a ganav who steals something, he's chayav kefel. And then if he compounds it by tabach machar, he slaughters it or sells it, so then he's chayav 4 and 5. So here the Tana of the Braisa says, he stole it, so he's chayav kefel. But once he's makdish it, so then now hekdesh is not subject to, you know, kefel or arba b'chamisha. So once he's makdish it, so now he's not part of the arba b'chamisha program. So far, so good. He says, v'tani Allah, we learn a Braisa concerning this, the Braisa concerning this Mishnah, Bechutz, if he shefted it outside the Beis HaMikdash, ki aygavna anush kare, he would be chayav kare. So again, he steals the animal, he's makdish the animal, and then tabach umachar, he slaughters or sells it. So he's only chayav kefel. But the Braisa says, if he slaughters the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayav for shchutei chutz. Shchutei chutz is a chayav kare. So that means that he had a koach to be makdish this animal. Otherwise, he wouldn't be chayav for shchutei chutz. Now, according to Ula, you know, nobody has the right. If I steal an animal, I don't acquire the right to the animal, even if the owner makes yeish on it. There's one special takana that brought as a chatat, so then they intervene. But otherwise, it's not my animal. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a problem. Yehuda says the person makes yeish, it's your animal. But this is a kash against Ula. So, v'i amrit yeish kidi lo kani, if you say that yeish by itself doesn't, you know, cause you the Gazan to acquire rights to the animal, so why is he even chayav kare? You know, it's not his animal. He can't be makdish what he doesn't own. And if he shucks it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he should not be chayav for shchutei chutz. So Amar Rav Shezvi, kare min divrei. Rav Shezvi is talking right, but he's saying that Ula will explain this braisa. So about kare is a very serious punishment. It means either you lose your chelek in Olam Haba, or you die young, or your children die young. Something kari means to be excision, cut off. So Amar says kari, they're karied on a Dravanan level. So achichu alei. So they laughed at Rav Shezvi when he gave this shot. Kari means to vrei meika. Is there such a thing as karied on a Dravanan level? Kari has been a shemayim. How do you have karied, you know, Dravanan level? So Amar lehu Rava. So Rava said to all the people who are ha 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 ha. He says Gav Rava Mar Milta, a big Talmid Chacham gave a shot. Don't laugh at it. In other words, if a big Talmid Chacham has a pshat, listen, take it in. He says, "Karet shal yedei devrayim batalo," means that the karet came about through takanas derabanan, meaning okmu rabanan brushute. The chachamim said that now the animal will belong to the gazlan. So he'll be chayiv on it. So it's the same idea that we saw before. We said, like within Ula,
according to Rashba before, that the Chamim gave him the animal so he'll be able to be makdish it. But here in reverse case, they're giving it to him. Let's take a look at Rashi. Everybody, Rashi's 10 lines above the Mishnah. Ukmu Rabbanan, Rishut Ganav, Imikdisha, if he's makdish it, Shechulav Hekdesh Gamur. In other words, if he's makdish it, it's his to be makdish. And then the reverse of that is, it's yours, but it's yours not just for one element. And then if you makdish it, it's yours. And then if you checked it outside the base of Mikdash, it's still yours. And now you're chayv shkutei chutz. In other words, that's a penalty the Chamim, in this case, are imposing on the Gazlan, the Hefker Beit and Hefker Huvikitcha. So here Rashi is saying the Pshat, which the Rashba said earlier. Now, let's just wrap up the Sugya. Back in the Gemara, one line below the Dalet. Amar Rava, Avadai Kamabayali. So Rava says, I am perplexed about one thing for sure, and that's the following question. Kihmu Rabbanu Bershutei, when the Chachamim say, now the animal belongs to the Gazlan, is it Mishat Geneva? Are they saying it's his from the time that he stole it? Is that what they're saying? Or Mishat Hekdesha, or from the time that he's Makdish the animal? So the Gemara says, L'may Nafkamina, what difference? In other words, if he brings it as a Korban, it's his, and if he's Shechetechus, it's his, but that's after he's Makdish it. So why is Rabbi so concerned? When does he, the Gazlan, assume title of the sheep? It says, L'gizoteo v'larotea. If, let's say, after stealing it, it was a sheep, he sheared it for its wool, or it was pregnant and it gave birth. He says, mine. So if it was his at that point in time, it was the Goslin's, so then he doesn't have to, return it to the owner. He's not responsible for the shearing or for the offspring. In other words, he's got to return the animal, the value of the animal at the time he stole it. But but if it's only his, at the time that he's makdish it, so then if in the interim he did shear it or it gave it the vlad, he's got to make restitution for that as well. So hadam arava. So subsequently, Rava said mistaber. It's logical. Mishat hekdesha shleichot niskar. It's logical. Chamin said the title passes to the Gazan from the time that he's makdish it. Shleichot niskar. In other words, he shouldn't make a profit out of his wrongdoing. In other words, he was wrong to steal it. So now he'll shear it, and then he'll have bladot, and then he'll be makdish the animal. He's doing pretty good. He's got a korban, he's got the shearing, and he'll have to make restitution to the true owner, but he didn't do badly. He made a little profit on the deal in the meantime. So it makes sense that it's from the time he's makdish it. Now he'll have to pay back the shearing, he'll have to pay back the bladot as well. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Wait.
Daniel here, then I'll get you out of motion. Go ahead. How do you want to say it would be? What do you want to say would be Kim? Kim Lid Rabbi Mina is during at the same moment he's chayav, let's say Misa, and he's chayav for monetary damages. Yeah, and in addition to which, there's a question. Is there even a Kim Levi Rabbi with a Chiyuv Kare? In other words, it's like, what are the application of Kim Levi Rabbi Nei? But even assuming it would be that way, it's not coming. In other words, we're getting into Kare because he was Makdish it, then he shechted it b'chutz. Now that's where we're getting into this Kare, okay? So we're here, Rabbi was dealing with the time between the time that he stole it and then he was Makdish it. That was what we're dealing. Okay, let's see back now in the back of the Mishnah. Okay, we're ready. We're poised to begin our Kamsa Bar Kamsa Sugyas. So this will take us through the rest of the week. I'm happy everybody's here. I wish more people would have come, but here we are. Now, Manitin. Loya Sikari Kombi Yehuda Bar Regei Melchama. Regei Melchama Elokesh Bar Sikari Kom. So Rashi explains right away. Look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Manitin Loya Sikari Kombi Yehuda Sikari Kon Obeiko Chabim Rotseach. Sikari Kon is like a murderous Gentile. In other words, it's talking about the time around the destruction of the temple. So they're going to be running through Eretz Israel, and Jewish blood is cheap, and they're killing Jews left and right. And the Jew says to this, the non-Jews, the Sikari Kohen, he says to him, do me a favor here, take this land, keep it, and spare my life. That's Sikari Kohen. The Omer Lo, Sa Karka Zu, and from
Rashi, it sounds like he's learning the word sikarikon is connected to the word sakarkazu. Take this karka, yaltimitain, don't kill me. So the Gemara is going to explain that during, I'm jumping the gun here, but just so you'll understand the Mishnah, the first line of Mishnah, lo yasi karikon biyehuda barugei melkama, that during the war, it's with Titus, so there was no din of the sikarikon, meaning if that's what the sikarikon did, and the Jew says here, take this land, take Blackacre, spare my life, then the goy has good title to Blackacre, and he could sell it whoever he wants. And the person, in other words, because we take it that the Jew intended with full das, take it, I want it, you know, I want to spare my life. He has intent to transfer it over. It's like, you know, tell you of his up, it's vine, it's vine. Sometimes a person does something under duress, but that's a good mafira. But back in the Mishnah, but the time following the war with Titus, then there's the din of the Sikarikon, which the Mishnah is going to spell out right now. Ketzad, this is the din of Sikarikon. Ketzad lakachmi Sikarikon. Let's say Reuven purchased Blackacre from, Claudius. He says, v'chazav lakachmi balabai. Then he purchased it from Shimon, who was the true owner. Mecho batel. So that mekach is batel, meaning here we assume that title is really in Shimon and Maiz, the Jew has the original title. And the fact that he went to the goy and paid the goy off first, so the Jew then afterwards were afraid, isn't voluntarily even selling it to the second Jewish buyer. He doesn't want to make waves with this goy. Or, and let's see, Rashi, he says, Yemecho batel, look at Rashi, Yemenon b'yira abba. We say he just did it, he's afraid. Or I'd rather have to litigate with, again, maybe I didn't do the names so well. Let me do the names differently now. Let's say Reuven will be the original owner of Blackacre. And then Claudius seized Blackacre from Reuven. But it was after the war with Titus. Claudius seized, then it was after the war with Titus, but so long afterwards, Claudius showed up at Reuven's property. And Reuven said, take the property, spare my life. So then Shimon wants to buy Blackacre from Claudius, who's the Roman legionnaire or whatever. So if he works out his deal with Claudius first, and then he goes to Reuven, because he knows Reuven was the true owner, so that's a batel mecca, not a good transaction. In other words, not an effective conveyance of title, because we assume Reuven is the true owner of Blackacre. And Reuven is only going along with the sale because Claudius, who he's afraid what Claudius is going to do if he doesn't go along with it, or he's thinking, you know what, I'd rather deal with Shimon than to deal with Claudius, and then I'll deal with Shimon and Bezdin, and then we'll take it from there. So, but he, Reuven, doesn't intend to convey title. So that's back in the Gemara, we're going to keep moving, okay? So he says, but if Shimon first purchased Blackacre from Reuven, and then he went to Claudius because he knows Claudius is the person in possession of it right now. That is a good transaction. He says, now, similarly, the Gemara has a similar case, not related to this Sikarikon business, but a similar halakha. Let's say the man has property that's been designated for the wife's ksuba. And somebody wants to buy that land. In other words, the husband designated Blackacre, different case, husband designated Blackacre to be meshubah to the wife's ksuba, so that if, death or divorce, he's taking Blackacre. And then he decides, I want to sell Blackacre. So let's say Shimon, Reuven will be the husband. Shimon goes to Reuven, he buys it from Reuven, and then he goes to Rachel, the wife, Mecho Batel. The Mechel has Batel, because the wife has an interest in Blackacre, and she, we assume, is not willingly giving over the title, but she doesn't want to make waves with her husband. She doesn't want to have like problems in the house. But at first he purchased it from Rachel, and then he goes to the husband, Mecho Kayim. That is a good Mecho. Now, coming back to our Sikarikon. Wait, please, let us remember, wait, okay? Zumishnah Rishonah. So that's the Mishnah Rishona with the Sikarikon, the first of the Sikarikon. Beitin Shalach Reim Amru, a subsequent Bezdin said, Halokech mi Sikarikon, Notain Lubal and Revia. So originally, the way they had in the R spell, I think they were quoting from Rashba, that, you see, if the person would buy from the Sikari Kohn, nobody would want to buy from the Sikari Kohn, because at any moment, the Jewish owner could come and pull away from him. So as a result of that, so the Goyim were staying and they were keeping the property and it wasn't working well for the Jewish people. So a subsequent Bezin said, Halokech Misari Kari Kohn, you know, you could buy it directly from the Sikari Kohn, you buy land from Claudius, and Notin Labalim Revia, and you'll give the true owners a Revia, a quarter. One second. He says, Eimatai, Bismancha Eim Biyad Unikah. That's when the true owners are not in a position to, in other words, so Rashi brings down Shur Desikar Homozil Gabe Riva. There was a humming evaluated that the price went down a quarter in the possession of the Sikari Kohn. So that diminution of value gives to the true owner. His aim at time is Banshe and Biyad Unikah. It's only the true owners not in a position to purchase the property. But if they're in a position to buy it, so stand by, let them do whatever they need to do with Claudius. Then Rebbe Yoshi Beit Im and Imnu, Rebbe convened the Bezin. Rebbe's obviously living around 200, so he's living, you know, long after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. He convened the Bezin and they voted Sikari Kohn Shnemasar Chodesh, that if the Sikari Kohn has got it for 12 months, anybody who buys it, he's zocha with it. But he should give a quarter to the balin. I have to move forward. Let me just do a little bit. I'll pause the two dots, then we got to go. Okay. So now the Gemara takes it like this. The first line, the basic line that we learned from Mishnah is that there's a din of the Sikari Kohn. So the Gemara learns is one halacha when the war was going on. Then there is no din of Sikari Kohn. Then we assume that the non-Jewish, you know, legionnaire has got title to the Black Acre during the war, because the Jew said take it, and he meant it. But after the war, things were not as bad, and then he doesn't mean it so much. And then, so there, you have to go to the Jew first, and then go to the non-Jew if you want to buy. That's the basic idea we learned. So the first line of the Mishnah says there was no Sikari Kohn be Yehuda. So Sikari Kohn is this non-Jew, the legionnaire or the whatever, the Roman, who's seizing the land. So it means there was no din of the Sikari Kohn, but the Gemara doesn't know this. So the Gemara says, Hashtabu Kim Kamalo Yaba Sikari Kohn, meaning if there's nobody like killing Jews and seizing their lands or seizing lands to spare their lives during the war, then you're going to come and express Sikari Kohn. I mean, after the war, it got worse. So Amar Rav Yehuda, says, no, the Mishnah means Lo Danuba Din Sikari Kohn Ka'amar. The Mishnah says there was no halacha of the Sikari Kohn during the war. The Amar Rabbi Yassi explained, Shosh Gezerot Gazru. There were three decrees that the Romans enacted. Gezeratat Kamaita, Kudlo Katfilitalu. The first there was that anybody who doesn't kill a Jew, he should be killed. In other words, like Jewish blood is running free, everybody's murdering Jews left and right. And during a period like that, if the Roman shows up at the Jew's home in Black Acre, he says, here, take it and spare my life. So he needs that's it. He says, Mitziata, the second stage, called the calculate Arba Zuze. The second stage was if you kill, you're penalized for Zuzim, you know, like $2 for killing a Jew. In other words, it's still pretty free. Some want to say a different shot that they would be paid for Zuzim for killing a Jew, but it's a small, minor penalty. And that's also what we take it in that case, also, if you really intend to give it. But right to the last stage, called the calculate the loot. The next stage is if you kill a Jew, you'll be killed. In other words, they're restoring sort of some civil rights to the Jews. Hilkach, Kamaita Mitziata, so during the first and second stages, came in the Katli, Agabon Se Gamur Machne. This is like the killing left and right. So when the Jew says, take Black Acre, he means take Black Acre, I give it to you, join, and you get titled to Black Acre. But during the last stage, when they're restoring some sort of civil rights to the Jews, and the guy's showing up at the property, and I'm scared of him, so Amri, so the Jews are thinking, let him take it right now. Then I'll take him to a court afterwards. In other words, because they have, you know, we're entitled to certain rights now under the Romans. So I don't intend to give him title, you know, to Black Acre, but I just want to take it and get away from me now so I can be alone. Okay, we have 30 seconds for questions. I'm going to go on. Who's got questions? Go. Milgav.
Third of the amount.
It's a statement or a question you're making?
Wait. How can be a question statement? Are you making a statement or a question? So which is it? Milabar. Okay. Now, all right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now. Right. Yeah. So all right. Let's take a look at Rashi. Okay. Lachakmana yish. Then I got to run. Lachakmana yish. Karka ham yuchedet l'ktubat ishto was designated for the wife's ksuba, o shekatub ktubata, or it was like written explicitly in the ksuba, o achnisa talo shum ktubata, or he put in the ksuba that like I think the value of this property or something, or that he'll give it to her. He says v'chol shkein sha'ar nechasim yilo abdalei. Amar law, in other words, if here Rashi is saying if she doesn't go along with the deal that he worked out, Amar law, not to talk to the Gerushin of Amita, that you have eyes that you're going to get divorced or I'm going to die. And so you want to say, let's say he doesn't divorce her or he doesn't predecease her. That's what you want to say. Yeah, but the thing is that she, under the terms of the Ksuba, she's entitled to this property and the property should stay there. It shouldn't be moving. It shouldn't be going to other places. That's the idea. He shouldn't be alienating that property to somebody else. That's really what is coming out. All right, let me go further back in the Gemara. Now on the fourth wide line on Nun Hey Lebeis. Okay, so I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my Tathim. Rabbi Yochanan says, what does the Pasuk mean? And if, one second. Ira, if you want to join us, you can come even for 5 minutes. Why don't you come and take a Gemara? Come, pick up. Okay. All right, so Amar Yochanan, my dati, what does the Pasuk mean in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs? Ashrei Adam Fachei Tamid, fortunate is the man who's always in fear, U'machshel Libo Yipol Ra, but a person who's like hard of heart, you know, will befall evil. So he's saying that in each of these instances, the people didn't make a cheshbon as to what could flow from their actions. And as a result of that, bad things happen. In other words, you know, like, Reuven has a fight with Shimon. He doesn't think, oh, and then, you know, the fight's going to spread. The whole shul will be in a state. It'll have a breakaway shul, you know, like that. It was like, you have to make a cheshbon. What's going to happen from what I'm doing? So he says here, Akamtsu bar kamsa churub Yushlayim. Over the incident of Kamsa and bar kamsa, Yushlayim was destroyed. A tarnagol of a tarnagol to churub Turmalka. Over the incident with the rooster and the hen, this place called Turmalka, Har HaMelech, was destroyed. Ashaka Drispa Kharub Beitar on the side of a woman's carriage, the city of Beitar was destroyed. Okay, so that's what the Gemara mentions. So now the Gemara begins the story with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Let me just do this one Tosfos quickly, last Tosfos. Ashredam Fachay Tamid. You see the last Tosfos? Beperaka Roe Imrinan, Chazilu Gavradam Fachayd, that somebody saw this person who was like fearful. Amar le chata'a, he says, you're a sinner. That let the sinners be fearful in Zion. So here, the Tosfos is bothered. Our Gemara is saying a person should be fearful about what the outcome of the event is going to be. But the Gemara in the Masechet Brachot says it's sinful to be fearful. He says, uparich mikra dahacha. So the Gemara asks from this Pasuk, the Gemara over there, mukila b'divrei Torah. So the Gemara over there says that our Pasuk is talking about Divrei Torah, Shadoik Shlo Yishkach Tamudo, because they're Mishnato Tamid. So the Gemara over there says, Ashrei Dam Fachay Tamid is a person who's always worried that he's going to forget his learning. So always chashes over the learning. That's good. But otherwise, a person's fearful, bad. Mahachanami Maiti Lo, Ahani Ovde Shabachu Arov Tovatam Shabatam, Vayesha Bar Kamsa, Vamoto Bar Kesar, Vayam Fachay Lazogana Puranut. So, here we're saying that there are situations when you should be fearful for the ultimate outcome of your actions. Whereas the Gemara in Brachot is a person who's walking around with fear for no reason. That's not good. In other words, you're walking around with fear for no reason. You know, I think Nefesh HaRav. So Rav Schefter brings down a story from the Rav that a psychologist came to him, like we say in the Yemin Noraim, You should instill your fear on all the creatures of the earth. So the psychologist said to the Rav that fear is not a good thing. How are you praying that, you know, everybody will be fear? So the Rav said, no, this fear, this is like Yirat Shemayim is a good fear. It's good to have Yirat Shemayim. And that's a type of good fear. Okay, since you're back on the Gemara. Now, we'll just begin Kamsabar, Kamsablina, we'll pick it up tomorrow. So it says here, he says, a Kamsabar, Kamsachurub Yushalayim, Dehu Gavra Durachme Kamsabar, Dabi Bar Kamsa. So nobody's named here, at least there was a person making a banquet, and his pal was Kamsa, his enemy was Bar Kamsa. Well, the Marasha takes it that it was a father and son. That's the way the Marasha takes it, a father and son. Avasudaka, so the person's making a banquet. Amal the Shame, he, the person making the banquet, says to his attendant, Zila Aitubi Kamsa, go, I want you to invite Kamsa to come. He's my bosom buddy. I want him to come to my party. Azal Aitubi Bar Kamsa. So instead, he brings Bar Kamsa, who might be the son. So the Marasha says that the son also knew that he was his enemy, this fellow, but he thought maybe his father worked out something with the guy. In other words, I know my dad is pals with him. Maybe my father worked out. Now we're on good standing. And maybe that's why he's inviting me to this party. He says, Ata ashche dehaviyati. So the person who's making the banquet comes to the banquet and he sees like his enemy number one is sitting at the banquet. So Amarle Miftia, who gabra balda baba, the who gabrahu. He said he's talking about himself in the third person. You're my number one enemy. He says, my bad, what are you doing here? Come put, get up out. Amarle, so he says to him, this is Bar Kamsa, Hova Tai Shabkan, you left me mal da'achim l'shatim. Look, since I came already, I tell you what, look, I'll pay for whatever I eat. Let me just stay. I don't want to be embarrassed. So next, the top line, I'm involved with Aleph. Amarle, no, short answer, short and to the point. No. He says, Amarle, you left me pagasudate. He says, you know what, I'll pay for half this banquet. Let's say the banquet is $20,000. I'll give you half the banquet. You know, I have a friend, Rabbi David Mamsess, who I haven't spoken to in many years, but I remember he said, like how much a person would do to avoid busha, to avoid embarrassment, being thrown out. I'll pay for half the banquet. That's quite a you know, offer. He says, Amarle lo. He says, no. Amarle, you love to make clues for him. You know what? I'll pay for this whole banquet. Just don't embarrass me and throw me out of here. So Amarle lo. He goes, this the head of the suit is very short with words. Very laconic, he would say. No, no, no. He says, not take the other open the often. So he picks up Bar Kamsa and physically throws them out. He says, Amar, so Bar Kamsa says, Horil Bahabiyati Rabbanan, since there were rabbis sitting there, Ulomachube, and they didn't protest. I see that they're okay with this. They're okay with this. Ezel Ehu reports that they mouth. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna slander them all to the Roman Emperor. Okay. So I think we'll pick up with this a little bit more tomorrow, okay? So let me just end the recording.